two types of athletic scholarships. This is the Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 15. Hi, this is John Fugler, CEO of RecruitMe and Athletic Scholarship Coach. And welcome to the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. So good to have you aboard. And this time we're going to cover a couple types of athletic scholarships that you're going to want to know about because it will answer some questions you may have already. But before I get to that, I want to let you know about something that I want to make available to you. It's the 10-point recruiting checklist. This is available for you at athleticscholarshippodcast.com. With this episode, there's a link, or you can go to recruitme.com, recruit-me.com. Lots of parents, lots of athletes have really benefited from this checklist. I've revised it. I've updated some things, and you'll get 10 points in this checklist that you need to go through on your road to an athletic scholarship. This helps you keep you on course. If you remember the last episode, I gave you five things that you need to do to prevent being derailed on the way to an athletic scholarship. This 10-point checklist will make sure you stay on course. There are also some links in there and resources, free resources, that will help elaborate on those 10 points. All you have to do is go to athleticscholarshippodcast.com. You can download it there. It's digital. Or if you'd like to go to recruit-me.com, it's there as well. I want you to get a hold of this, begin to work through it. I'll follow up with you to make sure you stay on course over the next 30 days. That's key. The next 30 days as you get a hold of this checklist and put it into action. You might be looking for something that has a little bit of meat to it, some rails to run on. This is it, the athletic scholarship checklist, the recruiting 10-point checklist. Go get it, okay? We're talking about two types of athletic scholarships, and I want to run these down for you because the thing that a lot of parents and athletes think is that their kid's going to get a full ride. Will my kid get a full ride? But if it's not a full ride, then it's all relative. It's not about dollars that you're getting. It's about dollars that remain for the quality of education you're getting. Full ride or partial scholarship. Let's start with the full ride scholarship. And just to give you some background here, what does it cover if your kid gets a full ride scholarship? The NCAA tells us that full ride scholarships will cover fees and tuition, room and board, as well as all books related to the education. There are other things that you have to take care of yourself, and that is travel, vacations, all that kind of stuff, little extra spending money, that type of thing. A full ride doesn't mean everything is taken care of that your family's going to have to offer. With that in mind, let's first talk about full rides and where you find most of those, and that is what is called headcount sports. Headcount sports. You may have heard that term before. And what that means is that a program is allowed certain number of scholarships, and they have to give them away as full scholarships. Let me run down headcount sports and full scholarships, which is the only kind of scholarship they can offer. In football, D1, and then basketball, that's both men and women, D1. Tennis, D1, women only. Gymnastics, D1, women only. And volleyball, D1, women only. Those are the only headcount sports that are available. So on the men's side, it's only football and basketball. Those are the big ones. Those are the revenue-producing sports. And there are several others, as I mentioned, on the women's side. In our show notes, I'll go ahead and give you some links so you can see exactly which sports are headcount and which sports are not. I'll also fill you in on how many scholarships are available for each of these sports. That's something you want to know as well. So those are headcount sports. Now let's go into the second category, and that is equivalency sports for men and women. If it's not a headcount sport, it's a equivalency sport. equivalency sports scholarships can use to be a starting point for full ride scholarships in future years, or at least an increase in funding as you go through the program. Most of the other sports, all the other sports, I should say, are equivalency sports. Coaches have to divide up the money. They may have, like baseball, for instance, has 11.7 scholarships. I do not know how they came up with that number, 11.7. Women's rifle, 3.6. Soccer for men is 9.9. I should say men's rifle, 3.6. Women's rifle and co-ed teams is 3.6. I've got this crazy list here that I'll include in the show notes. Tennis for men is 4.5. On the women's side, in field hockey, 12 scholarships. Ice hockey, 18. Lacrosse, 12. Rowing, 20. Maybe some of these sports, they will be full scholarship. But as you can see, there's fewer scholarships in most of these sports than there are athletes. Coaches are required, and they have the hard job of dividing them up. If you compete in an equivalency sport, then you've got to make that decision about whether you're going to accept a scholarship for books at one university or room and board at another. But you need to look at the bottom line, as I mentioned. You can't just say, oh, we're receiving $2,500 a year, but what is the bottom line? And that's the big thing that is really tough when it comes down to making the decisions. And those are the financial realities of that. I know a baseball coach that I talked to, and it was hard for him. Some of the kids on his team were getting room and board. Some are getting books. Some are getting tuition. He really had to divide it up. Maybe you'll start with, say, room and board at the beginning, and next year you may get some more money, and the following year more. You may end up close to a full scholarship at the end. But on this D1 team, I don't believe there were any baseball players that were on full scholarship. So that's what you have to do. You have to really take a look at what is left. What is our family responsible for? As I coach parents and athletes through the process, I have them fill out what I call a report card, where they can compare these institutions against each other. One of the things you have to look at is the bottom line. How much will we have to contribute as a family? The athletic scholarship may not be the only money that you'll get. There may be other dollars that you can get based on need or academics. You add all these up and you see what these dollars are at the end that you're responsible for. It's important to look at that. As you consider your athlete and where they might go, remember, some are headcount sports, some are equivalency sports. Again, go to the show notes I have in this episode, episode number 15 of the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I'll have links there, which will give you more clarification on them. You don't need to hear me going through sport by sport, giving them the 6.3s and the 9.9s and the 5s and all that. You just need to go there yourself. Get familiar with it so you have a real picture as you move forward in this journey. I have a couple questions that have come in. If you have a question, go ahead and email me at john@recruitme.com. John@recruitme.com. These are good questions. I want to read them, a couple of these, so they may fit you as well. Rosalie asked this. She's from Atlanta, and she asks, I have not started the process yet, and my son is a rising senior in high school. Is it too late? It does get a little tough as your kid moves through senior year, but especially as I'm recording this and you're hearing it in the fall, you've got time. I've even had baseball players being offered after the season is over, or just about as the season is over. That is really late. It's never absolutely too late. And that is because some kids, of course, will say no when they're offered the scholarship, which opens it up to somebody else. You just never know. It's really fluid. I do have to say, though, in senior year, you got to really step up the process. As I take parents and athletes through this step-by-step process, you've got to compress that. You got to really go after it. It's not a marathon. It's a sprint, but it's not too late. Here's a good one from Susan in Annapolis. My son lettered in varsity cross country, but is not a superstar athlete. Are there chances of a scholarship? The answer is yes. There's a misconception out there that my son or daughter has to be a top athlete on the team or the county or the state, or they're not going to get a scholarship. It only seems that the ones who are really way up there get scholarships. And that's not true. Absolutely not true. If your son or daughter can compete at the next level, there is a good chance they can receive an athletic scholarship. That's why I say cast your net wide. Don't just have a small list of possibilities of schools that you're shooting for. Have a large list. On that list need to be institutions that are a good match for your son or daughter's ability, some that are a stretch and some that are a little bit below. But most of them need to be in that sweet spot that you can, at least at first glance and as you get to know the program, see that, yeah, my son or daughter could compete there. That gives them a better chance of getting an athletic scholarship. There's that misconception of thinking, I got to go for those top schools, and that's my target. Well, adjust that target. You want the best fit academically and athletically. Athletically means, will my son or daughter be able to compete there? Will they play? And academically, will my son or daughter be a good fit at that institution academically with what they're interested in and majoring in? What the school has to offer, the toughness of academically of that school or their major. There's a lot to consider, a lot to consider. Keep your hopes up, though, that the fact that even though your son is not a superstar, it doesn't mean that he won't get a scholarship. I've seen it over and over again. Our twin sons were not the best on the team. They were certainly weren't the best in the league or county. I mean, they were good. They were talented. And that's the key thing. Can they compete at the next level? And they were able to get a fully paid education. Elsa in Miami asked this: how many times should you send an email, letter, or call a coach if he's not responding to your solicitations if you sent a packet of information for the coaches to review? How many times? Good question. At least once, maybe twice, maybe even three times if your interest level is high in that school. Follow-up is really important. I think that's the bigger question. Should I follow up? Yeah. You may send an email that gets lost, may go into the email black hole, never make it to the coach. You may send a packet in that gets set on the coach's desk and he or she is getting ready for a big part of the season or going out on a recruiting trip and it's delayed. There are a lot of factors involved as to why a coach does not respond to you. Does not always have to be with the athletic or academic level of the athlete. Do whatever you can to get a definite yes or no that the coach is interested in going further. But after, say, two or three times, you're not getting anywhere, I would pull back. As I said, cast your net wide and go on to another place. Pursue other options. Hopefully this has been helpful to you. If you have a question, you can email me at John, J-O-N, at recruit-me.com. I'll have a link in the show notes as well. So, two types of athletic scholarships. Check out the show notes. Got links in there. Look forward to talking to you next time. 15 minutes that will change your scholarship future.